The kingdom of heaven is like a husband and wife who went down from the Five Corners Hardware at the corner of 3rd Avenue West and McGraw Street to their home 2 blocks away on Smith Street. They were armed with buckets of paint, brushes, staples, nails, and other such home improvement tools. They had planned to enlarge and remodel their bedroom. Upon demolishing the first wall, they were overcome with joy to discover that inside the wall, someone had placed 4 gold coins dating back to the Civil War. Soon the whole neighborhood was there to look at the coins. And now the couple was considering tearing down every wall in the house. After all, if you find 4 gold coins behind one wall, don't you think you owe it to yourself to see if there are not more gold coins behind other walls in your house? What would you do? A few years ago, it was very popular to have a bracelet with the initials WWJD, what would Jesus do? You often saw it on the back bumpers of cars or license plates. What would Jesus do? I always thought that that was a silly question. We know what Jesus would do. I think the real question is, what would you do? What would you do if you found a treasure hidden in a field or hidden in the walls of your bedroom while remodeling it? What would you do? Consider, whenever Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven, there are 2 important things to remember. First, the kingdom of heaven is not geographical. It is not over there or over here or up above. The kingdom of heaven is not geographical. The kingdom of heaven, as Jesus himself would say in the very first words that he spoke in Mark's gospel, the kingdom of heaven is near. The second thing to remember when Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven is that he uses parables exclusively. We love parables, don't we? I mean, how can you not love a parable? Are you not just simply drawn into the story? A story that starts out, there was a father who had 2 sons. Now you already know this is going to go badly. If you're a brother or a sister, if you had a sibling, you know that this is not going to go well. There was a father who had 2 sons, and you were immediately drawn in. Or perhaps the parable starts, a man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem and fell among... Again, we are simply drawn in. We love parables, but we love them up to a point. And that point is, we don't have enough information. Consider today. What was the treasure that was found in the field that the man considered so great a treasure? He buried it someplace else and then went and spent all his money to buy that field. Parables never give us enough information. For example, we have all chosen to be harsh toward the elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. We all think, well, he should have just gone in and celebrated that the lost was found, been part of the celebration. But we don't have enough information. So this past week, I spent a good deal of time on the internet getting information about the elder son in that parable. It turns out that the elder son was one who truly believed that his father should have practiced tough love. After all, giving in to the younger son's every whim and desire certainly wasn't going to help his younger brother learn the value of a dollar, be responsible, accountable, all those things that we treasure, all those things that we expect in our own children. And I also found out And here's something I bet you didn't know, that the elder brother was an Eagle Scout. And he used his day off to serve sandwiches to the homeless. And not only that, his SAT scores were off the charts, and he got a full ride to Stanford. Now you think differently of him, don't you? Yes, of course you do. So I ask again, what would you do? 4 gold coins behind 1 wall. Doesn't it suggest that you should, at a minimum, at least tear down 1 more bedroom wall? In a very unscientific poll, that's my euphemism for I asked this to my wife and daughter and her fiance and the people who work in the office. I asked them what they would do. The first thing everyone wanted to know, I mean without question, to a person was, well, how much were the gold coins worth? How much were the gold coins worth? I don't know how much they were worth. They dated back to the Civil War. But that was the primary thing people wanted to know. Running a close second was, well, was it an older couple? You see, if it was a younger couple, they would have had time to rebuild. Some wanted to know if they were putting kids through college, and others asked, were they retired and living on a fixed income? What would you do? Would you play it safe or not? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and then hid. And in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, she went and sold all that she had and bought it. We are not even told what the treasure was. One person's treasure might be another person's trash. The merchant who sold all that she had to buy the pearl of great value obviously didn't buy it to resell it. The kingdom of heaven is not the treasure nor the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is the joy. The joy that all of these people felt. It is hard for us to hear that message, for it is so ingrained in our system of valuing everything that something is a treasure if it has monetary importance. The kingdom of heaven has no monetary importance, but the joy that it brings is incomparable. How do you define joy? Can you define joy? Joy is something I don't believe you can define. I believe that joy is something you can only experience. The kingdom of heaven is like the joy of a loved one returning after a long absence, a soldier making it safely home from Afghanistan, or the joy of being surrounded by your family, your grandchildren laughing and playing on a warm, sunny Sunday afternoon. The joy, Jesus says, is here and now. This joy that Jesus describes with the kingdom of heaven is something to be entered into now. And isn't joy something all of us desire? We can't get enough joy in our lives. And we find ourselves weighed down by responsibilities, commitments, and schedules that give us no joy. And then, of course, there is this, our sin. Our own sin, our own grievous sin. The way in which we hurt one another with both our words and our deeds, and sometimes by just plain indifference to the plight of others. By our sin, our own sin, we desire to be in control, even to the point of manufacturing our joy through investments or pills, through addictions, affairs, we rob ourselves and our children and our families of joy. To experience the kingdom of heaven and its inexplicable joy is to discover the treasure of unequaled value, the pearl of great price, it is not, but rather it is discovering a relationship with Jesus Christ, where the giving and the receiving of forgiveness is foremost. For what is more joyful than to witness an act of reconciliation? What gives us more joy than where once we were estranged and now we're back together again? I often go to the shopping aisles of Safeway or Trader Joe's to get sermon material. I ran into Georgianne Robertson last week at Safeway. She gave me no sermon material, unfortunately. But just a couple aisles over, there was a little boy who was lost, kind of lost. He couldn't see his mother, the rest of us could. And you could tell that he was beginning to panic. She turned the basket around and came back. He ran to her, she knelt down and hugged him, and all of us in the aisle were like, wow, that's great, that's terrific. And then you know what she did? She scolded him. To possess the kingdom now is to have the gift of forgiveness. To know that in Jesus Christ that God has forgiven you, that today you can start over. Today is a new day. God has lifted the burden of guilt and shame and given to you the joy of communion, a relationship with Him. Knowing this and believing this and acting on it, we can also heal the brokenness in our own relationships with others. An important note here is that this joy of being one again and reconciled, of having the burden of sin lifted from our shoulders, is not found exclusively within the walls of this congregation. For the people in Jesus' parables found that joy in their daily work, their daily routines, their everyday relationships, home and family, field and office. And is it not in our daily relationships that we too can discover the same joy of God's forgiveness, grace, and mercy? What would you do? I can tell you what the couple who lived on Smith Street did. They stuck with their plan of remodeling their bedroom. They didn't tear out any more walls, although they seriously considered it. They took one of the gold coins to the jeweler, who drilled a hole through it and made it into a necklace. When I first heard this, I thought, oh, gee, why do that? It could have been really worth something. And Lauren, the wife of this couple, said to me, every time I put that necklace on, I remember the sheer joy of simply having found the gold coins. And Charles, her husband, said, well, there isn't a day go by that I don't think about what might have been. When we finally sold our house, the only thing I said to the couple who was buying it was, you might want to remodel some of the bedrooms. Jesus is in the remodeling business. He remodels our lives with the sheer joy of grace, and it is inexhaustible. You cannot use up that grace. And I challenge you to discover the joy by giving that grace away to others. They don't have to deserve it. You see, that's the beauty of grace. It is undeserved love. What would you do? That is the question Jesus asks of us. What would you do to gain the indescribable joy of a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus? I don't know what you would do, but I know where you should start. At that table behind me, this is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Sheer grace, sheer joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.